stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is a special Oscar Awards show. And we have Hollywood had Siskel and Ebert. We have Bostick and Bostick. Bernard and James, welcome, fellas.
Hey, Wayne.
Now, James, you just came back from a trip spent some time with William Shatner. Tell us a little bit about that.
You mean Bill? Yeah, we had a great time. No, there was a thing. It was a Christmas gift for me from a friend of mine, and I grew up in a time just at the right time. Like, you know, I know you guys are mid-70s, and you can appreciate some of it, but he was one of my big heroes as a kid from Star Trek, and I had this opportunity, and they did it at the Clay Center. And this marked the 40th anniversary of the premiere of the Star Trek movie Wrath of Khan with Ricardo Montalban, and he was reprising a role from the original series. And they, you know, it was just a terrific thing. And the theater was loaded up with people. And what they did is they had a showing of the film, and then after the film, a local host and William Shatner came out, and there were a couple of big chairs at the bottom of the stage, and looking kind of like an inside baseball thing. He talked a little bit about the movie and some of the things that, you know, he had done in his career, and he talked about his trip into space where he did a suborbital flight. And he spent about an hour there, and then after that, and I got now bear in mind, this guy's 91 years old. Okay, so he flew in space at 89. And he does these road shows, and he drives. He's got a guy with him, and they drive.
Well, I saw where he's going to be, like in Indiana.
The next night. Yeah, and he drove. He and this guy drove. Well, there was a meet and greet kind of thing, and you could, depending on the package you got, you could have your picture made with him, or you could get an autograph or a couple different things. And we went the picture because I bought a shirt off of Amazon, one of the yellow shirts like he wore that's autographed by him. I bought it on payments.
And you're still paying for it.
No, I got it. It's paid up, man. That baby is all mine. It was a deal. I was looking, you know, just memorabilia. It was like $160. I said, well, you know, you can break this down. We'll do Amazon Easy Pay. And I said, all right, where do I sign? I got it. But I wanted a picture with him. And so you go out.
Had you ever seen him live before?
No, okay. I've never seen him in person. So this was like, you know, you better hurry. Because like I said, he's 91. You know, if you're going to do something like this, you better get on the stick. And they have a piece of plexiglass that's like lengthwise, so you can't see it, that kind of separates you from him. And he's sitting on a stool, and you go through the line, and you, hi, it's nice to thanks for a great childhood. Oh, smile, boom, next, and you're out. But it was still pretty cool because I got to see the guy, and he was pretty friendly with everybody. You know, he's waving behind the plastic glass over there. But it was a great experience, and there wasn't an empty seat. This was at the Clay Center. They have two balconies and side boxes.
Really?
Yeah, and there wasn't an empty seat in the place, and I bet I didn't get out of there till it started at 7:30, and I probably didn't get out of there till midnight because of the – I bet everybody in the stadium, in the studio got – in the theater got something from that opportunity, and he got
lot of money. I saw some of the pictures, and I didn't see him hugging anybody. You know, I didn't see the plexiglass.
Yeah, they have it set up so it's like on its thin side. But that's, You know, you got to understand that he's 91.
Sure.
People wiping COVID. Their noses and in the age of COVID or want to, you know, try and hug him or something. And you can't do that. And you know, you got a great opportunity to get your picture made with a guy. Shut up and be grateful, you know, smile. And then they give you this little card. You know, you can go to this website and download your picture. So I've got one for every room in the house. James, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Bernie, you've had a experience too. You just got done making a movie right before Christmas. Tell us about that experience.
Making the movie. Gee, I'm trying to think which one it was.
The Wise Man.
Oh, yeah, we did the...
Did you make more than one?
Not recently.
He was broke. You needed the money.
That was a... I was, as always, I'm typecast and broke. As I was typecast as a wise man.
Was this a satire?
Parody?
This is a parody. Yeah. Sort of Blazing Saddles at Jerusalem. It was pretty neat. I'd never done anything like that for a long time. Faith Community Church, where I go, I was doing a nativity thing, and in a story, and it was, golly, it was really well done. It was a situation where everybody kind of gets a sign. They get their own star that's leading them, you know, to the manger. And it's in different time periods. And like I say, I was a wise man, and we were.
You didn't have a speaking part, though, did you?
No.
Let's hope they were wise men.
Apparently, they were wiser than I was.
No, actually, I saw the movie. I thought it was very professionally done. And you guys taped it outside in the middle of the winter. And it's
it was. And there's this.
It's rough shooting on location, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and there was no food truck.
No heat in the trailers.
No, you know. It was like 30 degrees. The wind was blowing. We're in this big field. And there's some, you know, middle school and maybe 14 to 16-year-old girls that are dancing. And they're dancing as angels. And they kind of lead the way. And they just have these flimsy angel outfits on. And, I mean, they were freezing to death. I felt so sorry for them. But I didn't give many of my clothes.
Not that sorry.
No, I didn't feel that sorry. Tough. They got a tough love. But, you know, I mean, they had the cameras that, like the gyroscopic camera that doesn't shake when you move and walk. They had drones that were taken. It was a pretty impressive thing. I hadn't seen, I just really didn't know what to expect. And then we went back and finished some of the other parts a week or two later. And I'd say it's on YouTube. And if you were to look for Faith Community Church, you would see they'd have a link to it. I'm positive.
Yeah. Well, you've had all that stage experience.
Well, you know, dance is, I live to dance and I dance to live.
And have you ever thought about opening up your own dance school?
No.
And no one else has
it. Nobody else has thought. Nobody's even mentioned it. And I'm surprised.
Well, let's kind of set the stage a metaphor for movies, just so people will know where you guys are at. If you had to pick, and we've done this before, but if you had to pick three of your most favorite movies, not necessarily the biggest seller, just your favorite, what would your three be?
Jeez.
Just three. Okay, that takes care of John Wayne.
Yeah.
I gave you three.
I'll go first. One of my favorite movies, and especially it's interesting to watch it now as opposed to when I first saw it, was The Shootist with John Wayne. But and for those of you who are familiar with the plot, he's a legendary gunfighter who's discovered that he doesn't have long to live. He has cancer. And there are still people out there that want to try and make a name for themselves by calling him out and squaring off with him. And it's just those final days. And basically what he does is he he accepts the challenges from three of these guys. And that's how he's decided he's going to make his exit. Those are the terms on which he's going to go out. And looking at that movie when it first came out in 1976, when I was about 14 years old, 13 or 14 years old, as opposed to being an older fella, not quite as old as you guys, but getting out there. And you look at it, and you know, you have a better understanding.
In fact, I think we're older than John Wayne.
By now, you guys probably are.
You mean young John Wayne?
Young John? Johnny? Little Johnny? But, you know, and having, under, you know, now having a concept of mortality and what that really means, whether it's with people you lose or, you know, how you think you're going to face your own, it's a completely different movie for me.
The fact that you kind of get to go out on your terms.
Exactly.
And that's whether what that happens or not, I think that's what everybody wants. They want to be surrounded by family or friends, or they want to do it.
Or they want to go out killing the dudes that have been after them all these years.
And he's...
So, Burn, is it your...
It's one of them. It's up there in the top. Of course, Ron Howard was in it.
Yeah. Opie. Yeah. James Stewart. I mean, there were legends. Hugh O'Brien.
Yeah, geez.
Lauren Bacall. Richard Boone. Harry Morgan. I mean, it was loaded with all kinds of great legends in Hollywood, and I think everybody kind of understood when they were making this movie.
It was his last.
What this was going to be, you know, and I think that it was, you know, if you're going to have a movie of your life or something that kind of mirrors your perceptions of that, I think he did the right thing, and it was a great film.
I knew John Wayne as Marion when he was growing
up. Right, when you went to school with him. Yeah.
Now, I guess one of my favorites, and I mean a lot of people, I read the book The Godfather. And
wow, yeah.
It's a movie I could just watch. I had an interest, still do have an interest in the mafia and the way things were handled or are handled. And
should be handled.
Yeah. And I could watch that movie over, and I have watched Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Godfather,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But The Godfather, the original movie, I would have to say, and I think most of the critics have that
as well. And it set the stage for, if you look at mob movies since The Godfather, with, you know, of course, with Coppola, but with Scorsese and some of these other guys, that, you know, it set the standard. And those guys, I think, in terms of telling that story, rely heavily on how things were done in the original Godfather.
And they're still telling the story.
Yeah.
Was it Hoffa or whatever. That's, you know,
yeah,
what happened?
I heard you paint houses.
You know.
And what other movies you would think might rank up there in yours?
It's almost like I've got different movies for different times in my life, I guess.
I agree.
You know, and sometimes there's movies that, you know, James and I are both really deep into history, and so any history movie is good, whether it's military or not. But, you know, you and I ran, still walking, but we ran for a long time together, and I always liked Chariots of Fire. And that was, you know, I guess it's not a cult, it's probably a niche film, you'd say, but that was a really good one. Schindler's List was really tough to watch. That was really good. I'm gonna throw the Guns of Navarone out there.
I always like Cool Hand Luke. I'm a Paul Newman fan anyway, and just the ultimate rebel. I mean,
probably better than Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
In terms of his, you know, that rebel without a cause or rebel without a clue kind of picture, and that's I think that was probably one of his best ones.
Some of the critics, some of the movies that the critics list as the four of the top five is 2001 Space Odyssey.
Okay.
The Godfather.
Okay.
Citizen Kane.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orson Welles.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I can go with that. I can go with that.
Yeah. And not necessarily the highest volume of money, but of course, when you get into that, you get into the oldest. If you go back to Going with the Wind, I mean, it's been there forever.
The Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur.
And so you get in a different situation. Now, the movies that are out now that are nominated for Oscars for 95. Well, let's talk about 94. That was the year of the slap. And I don't even know. I know.
Not 94.
94. 22.
Last year.
Last year, Wayne.
Yeah, let's don't talk about
that. Who got slapped in 94?
I'm sure I did. What about you, Jake?
It was the 94th. Oscar Academy Award.
All right. Oh, that 94.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Will Smith and Chris Rock.
I thought you would know that. But anyway, it was the
somebody
year.
Got slapped?
It was the year of the slap. Will Smith, who actually won an Oscar Academy Award, got in a little trouble there. He slapped the host. And I don't even know what movies were nominated.
No, I know. Yeah, we know about
have
that.
Have they made any movies in the last 20 years?
Yeah. Not to speak of.
I wouldn't.
We're out of our depth here because I haven't.
I haven't
watched anything.
Numbers was a really good one, and that was about the Johnson lady from White Sulphur Springs.
Right.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Now, when I first heard about the slap, I didn't watch the Academy Awards, but when I first heard about it, I thought it was staged. And even after I saw it the first time, I still thought it was staged, you know. But the more I watched it, I said, oh, that looked kind of real there. I don't know why he didn't ball his fist up.
Yeah, I mean, if he was going to make a statement, you'd punch him in the face or in the throat. I can see the slap.
The guy is in a bad situation. In terms of his marriage, because she's not committed, you know. I mean, that's the backstory on this. She says they have this open marriage. He doesn't have really, I don't think, any choice to go along with it because he's in love with her and they have kids and everything. And I think what happened was we saw a guy break. I think he had just, by damn, that's enough. I've had it with this stuff. Everybody has said stuff about him, and I think he's probably a pretty good guy. I mean, beyond this episode in his career, is fundamentally unblemished, I think.
And I guess Chris Rock had said something to him, and she kind of gave him the side eye, like, you going to take it?
And
can't very well slap her. He's got to slap him.
and he's paying for it. He's paying for it. I mean, he was hard. You know, he couldn't find any work there for a while, but it's not going to hurt him financially. I mean, it just as far in terms of his craft, I think it hurt him, and I think it was just Hollywood's classless anyway.
Yeah.
So why are we shocked? Why would we be shocked if something like this happened? Look at what they wear. Look at halftime shows. Look at the entertainment industry in general. And you look at it, you go, oh, it's Hollywood. So what?
I don't know what the Academy was expecting. When you get Chris Rock there as the MC or host, I mean, you don't know what to
expect. Yeah, who's to say that they didn't? I mean, not that it was staged, but the Academy said, you know, looks at Chris Rock's jokes and say, you know, I think there was a joke about Will Smith's wife, something to that effect. And they look at that and they think, oh, man, you know, he's in a terrible marriage. Yeah, this is good. Let's go with that.
He hasn't been bad.
You mentioned it earlier. It's ratings.
Yeah.
These award shows, these Valentines to themselves in those industries are falling. You know, nobody watches them. Nobody cares. And the only reason we're talking about the Academy, we don't even know what movies they were showing. But what are we talking about? We're talking about Will Smith jab slapping Chris Rock.
And he hasn't been banned. They asked him not to attend the this year's awards. But there's been five people that have been expelled from the Academy in the 94 years that they've had it.
And since 94?
One of them was Carmen Caridi, who was in The Godfather, and he played, I think, Godfather 2 or whatever. But he evidently was trading screeners, and a screener is the early version of the movie and before it comes out publicly. And he was either giving them to his family or friends or selling them.
We found these on a bag of truck.
Hey,
the guy, there's something for you. There's something for you. Uncle Donald Glazier. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, that was major.
Don't forget me.
Another was Harvey Weinstein.
Good reason.
In prison.
He should have been slapped.
He can't come to any of the awards ceremonies. Anyway, Bill Cosby has been banned, but you know, his conviction was overturned, and I'm not sure that, I mean, he probably doesn't care, but I'm not sure that they wouldn't kind of take that one back. But he's on the banned list.
Well, I think the betrayal there is because of the characters that he played were so wholesome, so fatherly, so avuncular. You know, so you can trust this guy. You know, he's going to look after you. He's not going to do anything bad to you. I mean, so I think that kind of adds to the to his problem optically.
Of course, Roman Polanski he'll never come back
anyway. No.
He's got some charges waiting on him, and I think he's in Europe making a movie.
Nothing ever happened to Roman Polanski. No, he left the country and nothing around him.
He went to Italy,
and he's lauded as he. But then again, what I said, Hollywood is classless. So why would we be shocked? Why would we? You know, we should be more surprised that they had the gall to boot these people out.
I mean, there's like a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, you know, which is
distribution.
And the last one's Adam Kimmel, and I don't even know who he is. I think, but he, I think his
Adam Carolla or Jimmy Kimmel.
Adam Kimmel.
I think I just screwed everything up.
Starting over.
It's Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla. They were a comedy team back in the old timey days, but yeah, probably Carolla. Because I think Kimmel still, they still
look. Well, Kimmel's doing this year's award.
Okay. Well, it won't be him.
So then it's Carolla. It's going to be Adam Carolla.
Well, Carolla and Kimmel used to do the show at late Sunday nights.
The man show.
They drink the beer. The man show.
But so it could be one of them. I don't know.
Probably Carolla, because he's doing work with Prager University nowadays. They cooperate on a lot of different shows and things. And so more than likely, it's probably him. Because there is definitely a political element to the entertainment business as well.
Now, of all the movies that are out this year, I haven't seen any of them.
This is a great show about movies. Let's do this.
But Bernard has. One of the shows that was nominated was Elvis. And we talked about this.
Now, I did see the movie Elvis, but we have in our midst an Elvis impersonator.
Imposter or impersonator?
Impersonator.
No. This guy had a spot on, and he did it in high school, and he was very well received. I do have pictures that will be on Facebook if my brother really irritates me. But I'm saving them. James did it in high school.
He was barely cold.
Yeah. He
died in August, and we were doing a show in December.
So we're thinking that maybe James is the first Elvis impersonator.
Really?
It could be.
Post-mortem. Because there were guys that were doing it before that. But yeah.
Tribute.
It was a tribute to
the original tribute. Yep. He did it at Shady High School on a stage. I saw him. Girls were running up to the stage and giving him handkerchiefs so he could wipe his brow.
Still do that.
They still do that to this day.
Not at Shady High School now, though.
No, at the bowling alley. They do this at the bowling alley.
21 and over.
On senior league, Friday nights.
No. But he did. Had the suit. I mean.
Yeah, Gail Ellison's mother was a huge Elvis fan and had seen him a bunch of times. And it took her about a month to do it. Crafted, made me a jumpsuit like the one he wore in the Hawaii special, the Aloha from Hawaii special, the big eagle and
white
gold lame cape and a silver lame backing on the cape and a big belt. Man, yeah,
he was good.
What'd you think of the Elvis movie?
I thought the movie was pretty good. I mean, and if you could. And you've seen, you know, I mean, Elvis is such an icon, and you've seen so much of his stuff. And, you know, at first I didn't appreciate it during that time. You know, he got really wild, you know, during the Beatles, and I was more into that stuff. I mean, he'd always been there. And I was in Myrtle Beach when he passed away.
Yeah, 77. We were down there, you and Julie.
Whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember that girl. I remember that.
We were there?
And it was huge news. I mean, I don't know what it was like in the rest of the country, but in the South.
And in Myrtle Beach,
man, I mean, it was front page material. There were inserts the next day. I've got one of those from that time. But yeah, it was.
But if you could just sit there, and if you could just, you know, just enjoy it, it was like, wow, that guy does good. I mean, he was spot on, and we've since seen, video clips of Elvis, and then video clips of that guy doing the same dance. I mean, and it's like step for step, move for move. I mean, it's unbelievable how good he was. I mean, it was, if you had never seen Elvis and you go in and you know, you'd heard of him or maybe you'd seen a picture of him or two, and you swear you was watching him.
Well, this guy that played Elvis, he's up for Academy Award, and Austin Butler.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I like that name.
Well, I read somewhere the other day that he was kind of concerned now that because he played that role, it might affect some of his other roles. People keep stereotyping as Elvis.
Well, but I mean, there's...
What kind of problem is that?
Well, there's Buddy Holly.
There's Buddy Holly.
There's Big Bopper.
There's Big Bopper. There's Ricky Nelson. So what? I mean, that's... It's a one-off, okay? And I think if they look at it just from acting chops,
guy was awesome.
You know, he's got skills. Yeah, exactly. He's got skills.
Do anything.
And I don't know that he would be typecast. But then again, if you're typecast in an Elvis Presley type role,
and you do all the Elvis,
it's like Batman. It's like Captain America.
Hey, awesome, man. Why don't we do Viva Las Vegas? Yeah, why not?
Or why don't we do a story about what happened while we were doing Viva Las Vegas?
No, probably
throw stuff in because Anne Margaret. Yeah, that would be a great story because.
Jeez, yeah. I mean, the guy's got all kinds of ways he can go. What I didn't, and I always heard that the Colonel Parker was like a dominating and
West Virginia boy.
Maybe
hustler.
I'm sure he did some time in West Virginia, but I mean,
Mountsville.
But just seeing how he manipulated, and he was a master manipulator. And I mean, like, you know, Elvis, they had some guys come in and completely redo his stuff there for a little while. And it was some, you know, and it was awesome, man. Colonel Parker didn't like it. And Elvis never traveled out of the country after he got out of the military. I didn't know that. Never went
Hawaii,
anywhere.
Beyond Hawaii. He never left the United States.
Never left the United States. And it was kind of like that Colonel Parker, if he got out of the United States, he couldn't get back in.
I had a friend.
Illegal aliens, what's kind of what they
He was applied. A Dutchman. Yeah, he was from Holland, I think.
I had a relative that actually retired from the military, and he was on the same base with Elvis in Germany, I think.
Right.
And Humber. He said when he came over, he came in, that he would sell cigarettes to the guys that were on the base, and you know, for reduced price. Yeah. But then after a while, he just gave everybody cigarettes. Of course, cigarettes were popular at that time, really popular, and so they thought the world of him, you know. But they hated to see him leave. And
that's the end of the free luckies.
But I don't think he ever had any pictures taken with him. I'm not sure that they had a band there or whatever, but he did tell us quite a bit about him. One more movie. Let's go with a comedy. What's your, if you had to pick one favorite comedy?
Only one. I can't pick one. I'll give you two.
All right, give me two.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That was good. That was very good.
And Blazing Saddles.
I'll go with Blazing Saddles, and I'll raise you Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
I'll see your Walk Hard, and I'll go Pink Panther.
I'll see your Pink Panther and raise you the two Airplane sequels.
I'll see the two. I will see you the two Airplane sequels and go, or sequels, and go Naked Gun series.
I'll see your Naked Gun series. I'll see your Naked Gun series, and I will raise you Mixed Nuts with Steve Martin. Quirky little holiday movie. Very funny.
Okay. I'll see your six.
Mixed Nuts.
Those two.
What you said.
Yeah. And I'll raise you Young Frankenstein.
I'll see you, Young Frankenstein, and I will raise you. It's a mad, 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 mad world, and I call.
Ooh. Ooh.
Is Joe Dirt the Joker in this?
Is he the wild card?
Mad world.
Okay, James wins.
Yeah. Not fault.
Okay, guys, we're going to get serious now. This is the end of our program. And what you guys are going to do, of course, the audience won't see this or hear it, but you're going to pick.
What are we doing?
You're going to pick.
I talked on the telephone. I could have texted this.
You're going to pick the best actor, best actress, best movie, and best director this year, even though you haven't seen any of them.
Well, that should be too hard. And, got a list.
Now, wait a minute. You're going to circle.
That guy that did the one thing.
You're going to circle the, and we're going to keep that ballot, and we're going to show it on Facebook, and people are going to pick either Bernard or James, who they think is correct. Now, on March the 14th, 2 days after the Oscars, we are going to take the people, if they pick Bernard and he had them the most right, then we will put those people's name in a hat. And you don't have to worry about this, but they'll put it, and we'll draw their names out, and the winners will get a meal from Chick-fil-A. We've got five of them. Either a chicken sandwich meal.
Well, actually,
they're
probably
nuggets,
more like three because Bernie and I ought to get something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not getting anything for this.
Yes, you Chick-fil-A. Are. As a matter of fact, if you
it's not that trophy I got to give back, is it?
If you pick them right and you win, we'll have a tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
And if you guys, if both of you are tied, I've got this number, and you—it's between 1 and 10. I'm putting it in the envelope. And
That's fair.
You will choose.
Chris Rock's going to give it to us.
And it is sealed, as you can see.
Sealed, yeah.
And
because it's you, I'll slap it.
If we have to have it. And if either one of you win, or one of you will win.
Yeah, you think. Then
you will get a prize chosen especially for you. So that's.
I don't want them White Watcher shakes.
He's already got a bunny suit. Yeah, I gave him one 2 years ago.
So that's the best we can do, right? Yeah. And, but I do appreciate you guys stopping by, and we'll get the voting here, and this program will be out on March the 3rd, and people can start picking the winners who they think has won, and it will last, the voting will last until, it's not a vote, but the choices will last until March the 10th. The awards banquet is on the 12th, so on Sunday. So something for you to watch out for, and stay up that night.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
Or did we get banned?
We'll be
stay up there.
That number may move to 6 after this show.
In the meantime, we'll be looking for that prize chosen especially for you, and we'll get that thing together. I'm still working on it. But I do thank you guys. And
always fun.
Thank you for your expertise. And anyone else out there who'd like to be on one of our future episodes, we'd love to have you. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Till next time.
Boy or young mechanic can be a panic. Understood. Though I'm tired or not, you make me